Radio stations of Door County, dailynews.com. I'm Tim Coles, and we're joined via Zoom with Chief Medical Officer from Door County Medical Center, Dr. Jim Heiss. Doctor, pleasure seeing your face here, and for the first time probably in a couple months, we've been able to see the bottom half of our faces.
Yeah, it's great to see you, Tim.
And going through Zoom, this was something that a lot of families had to do a week ago today. It was Thanksgiving, but we know not everybody did that. Still going out, mixing families, having large group gatherings and things like that. What kind of concerns do you have, maybe not necessarily this week, but even next week when it comes to potentially seeing a surge from the Thanksgiving holiday?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where if people did decide to go ahead and get together, if they would have contracted the infection, it's going to take a while for that to show up. And then the next lag is for them to become symptomatic. And then, you know, heaven forbid, if they need to be hospitalized, then we'll see an uptick there. And then for those that are really sick, then death can lag behind there. So, you know, if we see an uptick, I'm thinking it'll be probably in 2 weeks, but we'll have to see. So, you know, to be honest, most of us in healthcare are just kind of assuming it's going to happen because a lot of folks, ourselves included, frankly, have a lot of COVID fatigue and we're sick to death of this. And so I think a lot of people just said, hey, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. So we'll see what happens.
And speaking of that COVID fatigue, the CDC came out kind of shortening that quarantine period from 14 days to 10 days. And, you know, there's some people that say, okay, well, why are we moving this finish line a little bit more? The thought process that I saw was if it's 10 days, it's a little bit more achievable in people's minds to be able to quarantine for 10 days rather than 2 weeks. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think the 14-day quarantine really comes from how long it can take for someone to develop symptoms or to be able to show positivity. And then from there, how long would it take for the virus to no longer be infective? So I think it's just a pragmatic step. I think people are trying to say, look, you know, a lot of people are saying, I don't want to get tested because I don't want to be stuck for 10 or 14 days. And so the hope is by decreasing it, that maybe we'll identify some more people. Because really the goal with this whole thing from the beginning has been, let's identify those people that have the virus, let's get them isolated so we can stop the chain of spread. Because that's the hardest part is, you know, the chain of all the virus lives to do is to propagate itself. And it does that by spreading from me to you, to my family, to whoever, when I don't wear a mask. And so if we can stop that chain, that's how we slow this down. So as I say, the science, I don't think is necessarily, it doesn't go along with shortening it down, because I know there's going to be some people that are going to say, oh my gosh, here we go again. You said 4 months that it has to be 14 days. Now you're saying, well, that's not really true. No, I think it's still true. I think it's come down to, you know what, let's not sacrifice good for perfect. So that, I think, is the thought behind it.
Kind of that Vince Lombardi quote, let's chase perfection, right? And along the way, we're going to find excellence.
Exactly.
And speaking of finding those positive cases, Wisconsin National Guard have been flip-flopping between Sister Bay and Sturgeon Bay over the last several Mondays. I believe we still have a few more of those coming up. And how effective has that been to help identify some of those positive cases and help, you know, potentially protect some people that maybe need to be quarantined if we're able to find those positive cases?
I think it's certainly been a help. I think certainly having the tent, I call it the tent, but it actually is at the fire station in Sister Bay, having that testing site up there where people that live in Northern Door are able to get the test more conveniently. I think that's been a real nice benefit and a boon, and certainly down here as well. So it takes some of the pressure off the hospital in doing all the testing. So I think there's no doubt but that it's helped. You know, can I say that I know 100% for sure that it's identified more people? I don't know. I can't help but think that it has to identify more people because, you know, our positivity rate in this area is right about, I don't know, 11, 12%. And at the sort of the midpoint of this prior to September and in the summertime and in spring, we were looking at a positivity rate of 4%. So what that meant was, A, there were less positives, but also we probably weren't testing enough, because you really want it to be about 5% is that sweet spot. So once you get around 5, you know you're testing enough and you know that it's reasonable. So now that we're at 11%, we know we're testing enough, but now we just have a lot of positives.
And how much of a factor has, there's a the rapid testing site at UW-Green Bay going on as well during all of this. Have we seen a lot of positive results come from that at all, or at least, hey, I tested positive here? Usually they've been recommending that you get the traditional PCR test after that as well. Yeah. Have we seen any effect from that at all?
Not that I can account for personally, but certainly a lot of universities have been successfully running those programs where they're testing frequently, or they're kind of creating their own bubble. They'll quarantine those people that are positive, and then everyone is in their little bubble together. And that works as a strategy. It really works well. I haven't personally had experience where someone tests positive and they come and they get a PCR confirmatory, but you know, from my perspective, whatever works.
And when we take a look at the positive cases that are coming through right now, obviously we've seen hospitalizations go up, deaths go up, and things along that way. But when you take a look at maybe the people that you're seeing come in, are there any positives to be taken away from maybe what you're seeing both at the hospital and maybe just with the people that are testing positive?
Yeah, I think, you know, for those that have been hospitalized, the good news is that the volumes have gone up, which is not good news. But the good news behind that is that people are generally doing fairly well. They're quite ill. Obviously, they require being in the hospital, but we've been able to successfully discharge a large percentage of those people. So that's a good piece of news. I like your question, because we always look for a way to think about this in a positive light, because this stinks. There's no two ways about it, but it doesn't all have to be gloom and doom.
And the nice thing, and we talked to President and CEO Brian Stevens about this as well, is that some of these treatments that may have, you know, you watch the news, and of course in New York City, at Chicago, Milwaukee even has it, but, you know, we talked about Bam Bam. I'm not even going to try to say the word. I think we both struggled trying to say the name of that treatment. But, I mean, some of those things are available right here in Door County as well.
They are, yeah. It's bamlanivimab. See, every time I try. Yesterday I had a meeting where I nailed it. Bamlanivimab, that's it. Bamlanivimab is the monoclonal antibody that can be given to people prior to them requiring hospitalization or even an ER visit. So there's criteria as far as age, medical comorbidities, things that might predict that you may not do as well. If we can infuse that monoclonal antibody, it actually is shown to help. Now, we not only have the Bam Bam, we also have a second one by Regeneron. It's actually two antibodies, so it's a polyclonal antibody that actually does a better job. So we have both of those right here in Door County. I know I got asked the question when the president was in the hospital for COVID, you know, what is he getting that we're not getting here? And at the time, the only thing that we weren't doing was the Regeneron. He got the Regeneron when it was experimental. But the remdesivir for hospitalized patients, the dexamethasone, which has been around forever, and the convalescent plasma, we do all of those things for our hospitalized patients that require oxygen, plain and simple.
And then speaking of presidents, we had former presidents Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton say, hey, put a camera on me. If we get this COVID vaccine ready to roll, I'll take it in front of millions of people just to kind of make sure people are a little bit more comfortable with it. So as these vaccines start to roll out, we've been hearing good news about them over the last several weeks in terms of how available they might be, the efficacy of those vaccines. How excited are you to see these come to the marketplace?
I'm very excited about these vaccines. I mean, this is truly the light at the end of the tunnel. We haven't had that light up until this point. And the fact that these two vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna are, as you mentioned, touting efficacy rates between 90 and 96%, that's nothing short of extraordinary, because the annual flu vaccination that most of us get has an efficacy of between 40 and 60%, depending on the year. So I think it is nothing but a positive thing. And I've kind of jokingly said the same thing that the presidents have said on a local level. I've told Brian Stevens, you know, hey, look, you can stick a needle in my arm. I'll be the first to take it. I have no concerns. You know, I think this is one of those things where we're going to need to really encourage people to get the vaccination, because this whole concept of herd immunity that's been bandied about, you know, the people thought that the whole Sweden experiment had to do with herd immunity. Herd immunity has only to do with, it's in the context of vaccinations. And so that's when you talk about herd immunity, and you need to get about 60, 70% of people with the vaccine to cover the rest of those folks. So that's what we're going to be looking toward. And there's going to be more vaccines that are coming out too into 2021. So we've got the two messenger RNA ones that are coming out probably in the next, you know, the week of Christmas. And then there's adenovirus-based vaccines, which is a little different way of doing things. Those will come out probably sometime in January. So it's an exciting time.
And you know, the big concern that I'm sure people have brought up to you, you go on social media, the big concern they see is like, this vaccine seemed to come a little bit too quickly. Did it get tested enough? Do we know enough about it? What kind of peace of mind can you offer when it comes to, you know, these vaccines being available as quickly as they were?
Well, I kind of think I'm pretty much a straight shooter. What I tell people is the reason that these came to market so fast is because they backed up the money truck to these companies. That's basically what it is. I mean, you know, they'd already been working on the messenger RNA technology. Had not been a brand new thing. It's been studied for a while in the context of cancer research and things like that, and HIV research, Zika virus, things like that. So they were ready when this came along, and they started working on it right away. The usual sort of rate limiting step, or the part that can slow things down, is companies just having the funds to be able to go through and do all these steps. Now, when they've had unlimited money, because this obviously is a global pandemic, we need to get on top of this as fast as possible for the global economies. Governments are just throwing money at this, saying, do what you got to do. Let's get this done. And so they were able to crank out a new vaccine in less than a year's time. And prior to this, the quickest vaccine to market was the mumps vaccination from the 60s, and that was 4 years. So the important thing to know is that these vaccines have gone through, they're finishing up phase 3 trials right now, or they have finished, I think. So that's what you're looking for. Phase 3 is all you need prior to going to market. Then the next phase is actually seeing how things go. So I think, you know, if it were a convenience vaccine where you said, boy, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to have all these kids die of rotavirus, you could take some more time if you really wanted to. But in this case, we've got people dying, you know, significantly enough. And there's enough problems going on in with our economies and with all the stuff that we've all gone through over the last 11 months. I think it's time to get on top of this. And we need to take the vaccination to try and stop this thing.
And then finally, any final thoughts that you want to share with our readers and listeners, some words of encouragement as we enter another month here and as we get a little bit closer to the holiday season for Christmas and New Year's?
Yeah, you know, I think the good news right now is that it seems like the curve has dropped down. So we're on the decline a bit right now as far as positive cases. Our positivity rate has gone down some. So that's good news. But what we want to do is try and maintain that. So we'll see what effect Thanksgiving has. You know, I think Christmas, unfortunately, we're going to be in the same conditions as we were for Thanksgiving. And so the most important thing you can do is to do your best to try and keep you and your family safe and try and stick within your own family bubble, so to speak, rather than getting out and about. Because the risk of disease at this point is still too high. And let's face it, what we worry more about is not just COVID, because we have, you know, a fair number of COVID patients in the hospital, but I will tell you, with Door County Medical Center, it stretches our ability to provide the most efficient care we can, because we've had 28 to 31 patients in our 25-bed hospital as recently as 2 days ago. We had 28 patients in the hospital. So if you all of a sudden have a heart attack or stroke and need care, we will be able to take care of you, but it's not going to be as efficient because it's going to be much more difficult to get you down to Green Bay where they can definitively treat that because the hospitals in Green Bay are full. So that's what we're trying to combat. We're not so much saying don't get COVID because we don't want you to get COVID. We're saying don't get COVID because everything else can be affected as well.
Very good. Well, Dr. Jim Heist, the Chief Medical Officer at Door County Medical Center, we will be meeting with you on a more regular basis. And the next time we chat, we got to think of a great term. Zoomsgiving was used for Thanksgiving. We got to think of something for Christmas.
There we go. We'll do.
All right. For the radio stations of DoorCountyDailyNews.com, I'm Tim Coles. Dr. Heist, thank you so much.